Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, I'm going to speak to Herman Kelly about this in a moment, but I want to ask you how you would vote if there was a referendum and 32 counties were allowed to vote on a United Ireland, considering all the pros and cons. I mean, look, from a financial point of view, we have homelessness in this country, inverted commas. We've 10,000 people in temporary accommodation. In Northern Ireland, they've 12,000 people in temporary accommodation. And yet they only have half the population we have. And they have one of the highest rates of disability. They're subsidised by the UK government to the tune of somewhere between 12 and 17 billion per year. Could we afford it? Would it make any sense for us to have six more counties to add to the 26 that we already can't afford? So I want to ask you how you would vote on a United Ireland vote. Let me know what you think. And the number, as usual, is 087-188-0008. Would you vote yes or no? Let's do our own little referendum. You can WhatsApp us, 087-188-0008. And on the line is Herman Kelly, Europe of Freedom and Direct Democracy, the EEDD, and a spokesperson for Air Exit. Herman, I mean, look, this is a complete and utter mess. Nobody can explain this even in English anymore.
Yeah, it's political chaos in the UK for sure, and the EU is playing real hardball. They're out to give the UK a punishment beating to make sure that no other country will ever attempt to leave the European Union again. But what is really interesting and what has come out in the last 2 weeks very, very clearly is that it will be the EU. Because at the moment, there's no party in Ireland or in Britain once they have a hard border in Ireland. But it's become very clear in the last 2 weeks that it's the EU will want to impose a hard border in Ireland. We had Gunther Krischbaum, not a friend of mine, but he's MP. He's in charge of the EU committee in the Bundestag. He said there 2 weeks ago in Radio 4, it will be a hard border of the European Union. We've had Coveney say, we'll be caught off, Mike, would you believe, we'll be the government that introduced a physical border on the island of Ireland. And we had Juncker's spokesman saying that, yeah, in the case of a no-deal Brexit, it will be a hard border.
Well, this is what it looks like today. Last night, we had a very different situation with a vote on Tuesday suggesting that we keep the backstop provided Britain remain part of the customs union. Now, today, we have a different situation with a group of amendments where Theresa May is now going to go back to Europe and say, all right, forget about the backstop altogether. And we have now got a group of amendments provided, you know, we can get what we want. In other words, Britain now seems to be saying, feck Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland and the border. We don't really care about it.
Yeah, people need to know what the backstop is. The backstop is basically the EU attempting to keep either the north of Ireland or the whole of the UK within the EU customs union. Okay, so it basically means that they're not leaving the EU. That's what the EU wants. But, of course, there's a vast resentment against that in Britain, and they're not going to accept it. So I think that Leo Varadkar, who's an absolute EU fanatic, has bogged his arm in this. He's gone to put on his little shirt for Team Brussels, and he's going to give the Brits a kicking, but he's bogged his arm in too far, and now they've kicked back and they've made clear it's completely unacceptable.
I mean, both him and Coveney seem to have hedged their bets for a year and a half on Plan A, which we know wasn't voted through Parliament over nearly a month ago now. Yes, so they've hedged all of it, so they've no Plan B.
No Plan B. They took a gamble, and a statesman should look into the future and plan for all eventualities. They took the opposite tact. They went to play for Team EU. They're going to hammer Britain, and all the pleas, Jean-Claude Juncker, an old guy we didn't vote for, we can't get rid of, but has
self-appointed, yes,
power all over Ireland, and the whole thing. WTO, they say, there was an article in Irish Times November 25th where the spokesman for the WTO says there is nothing in its rules that would force either the EU or the UK to erect a hard border in Ireland after Brexit.
So do you believe, Herman, in relation to what's going to happen in less than 60 days, right, there's a couple of options here, okay? One, there's an extension that's kicked down the road for 12 months, and we don't know what's going to happen. There could be an election, there could be another referendum, we don't know, right? The other option is, which is becoming more likely, is it'll be a no-deal Brexit. So if there's a no-deal Brexit, and if that is the case, and this group of amendments go ahead that have been suggested today that Theresa May is heading back to Europe with, and there is no backstop, does that mean invariably that we are going to have a man standing in the middle of the road in Newry with his hand up?
Well, when Enda Kenny was Taoiseach, they were having, Ireland and Britain were having bilateral talks, and they were talking about implementing a report that was like something like a smart technology border that can produce a frictionless border. Like the European Parliament...
But they're not going to do that. So if they can't do that between, if they can't do that between America and Canada, they're not going to do it here.
But Niall, the reason the EU don't want it and they won't accept it, they will not, because they want to keep the UK in the customs union.
But it's, but either way, it's technically impossible.
It's not going to work.
No, yep. Well, I mean, you look at probably one of the biggest borders would be between America and Canada, right? And they're two countries who get on reasonably well. And yet they still have to have a hard border. If that technology was available, surely other countries would be using it. So that's just not a possibility.
Well, they do have it between Sweden and Norway, and both the British...
But they have an agreement together.
Head of the customs in Britain has said, look, In the case where there's two different customs union, there shouldn't be a problem. We can use this technology where number plates and trusted traders can be scanned as they go across the border. There doesn't have to be a physical border. Actually, it was Leo Varadkar last week who was talking about not only watchtowers and trips. It's not going to be British troops at the Irish border, because they don't want a hard border. It's going to be EU troops on the Irish border, and I wonder how they'll get on when they try to set up around South Armagh. That would be really...
But the technology wouldn't work. If, for example, we had, as you suggested, you know, reg plates, and, you know, okay, we know he's from the south, so he's grand driving up to Belfast, but sure, he could have five people in the back of the car. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that technology just wouldn't be feasible.
Well, there is a thing about the common travel area between Britain and Ireland has existed since 1923, and no one is talking about changing that. There is a very specific relationship between Ireland and Britain in regards to travel, which doesn't pertain to the rest of Europe.
In other words, yes, we wouldn't need a passport, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah, but it still doesn't mean we can't get our car searched. Okay, but so getting back to the idea that, I suppose, this seems more and more likely that there could be a referendum on a united Ireland. Yes. Is that a possibility? Mm.
Yes, I think that the UK leaving the EU and the consequences, if there are, they don't implement this frictionless border, and the EU seeks to impose a hard border on Ireland, which would hurt trade between Ireland and Britain, between North and South, there would both then become an economic imperative on Ireland to leave the European Union as well. Because, look, we would have a massive part of our trade between the UK and the US. The US is 26% of our exports. The UK, I think, is 14%. Almost half of our exports would go to areas outside the European Union. The benefits of being inside the EU are decreasing all the time. Like, these people have taken billions worth of fish out of our waters. They're going to change our corporate tax regime, and they're going to hammer us economically. Last year, we had to pay the EU 1 billion euro into the EU budget net. So, and then what do we get in return? We get a million migrants from Eastern Europe, and we have to house these people, educate them, put them in schools and hospitals.
But what you're doing, Herman, is you're going down the same road as Nigel Farage when you're talking about that aspect of it. Because is that not what Brexit was based on in the first place? Was to stop free movement of people?
You know what? Well, all across Europe, be it in Italy, in Austria, in Hungary, in Poland, in Czech Republic, or whatever, opposition to the European Union is growing, because this started off in 1973 or before that. We were told it was a common market, it was a trading bloc, but decades later, we now find we're in a political union, as we were in a political union and got hammered under Britain. This political union based in Brussels is becoming oppressive, it's becoming expensive, and it's dictating laws which are against our interests.
Well, it's quite ironic. I know Sinn Féin were talking this morning, the same party, by the way, who disagreed with Britain occupying six counties in Northern Ireland, but they're quite happy for Europe to occupy the whole 32 counties. Which is kind of bizarre.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Sinn Féin are European Unionists, Euro-loyalists, who want to have the whole of Ireland, yet maybe united, but all under Brussels rule. What's Republican about that? It's ridiculous.
So you believe not only should we have a referendum on a united Ireland, you believe that a referendum on leaving Europe or an air exit Absolutely. Is becoming increasingly likely. But according to polls...
That's what I would like to see.
Yeah, but according... Well, maybe this is not the right climate to do it in. Or maybe you think it is the right climate to do it in, where there's this fear at the moment of what's going to happen. But in saying that, according to polls recently, that wouldn't be successful from your point of view, because I know that's what you want.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? We were told incessantly before the treaties of... we voted on Treaty of Nice and the Treaty of Lisbon.
Twice, yeah.
There's no way in hell that the Irish people would ever vote no to an EU treaty. Well, they did. Right? They voted against it twice.
So do you think if we had a referendum tomorrow and should Ireland leave the EU, do you believe that would go? Do you believe that we would have the majority of vote of people in this country would want to leave the EU?
There's two things. I will answer your question.
I don't think so.
Two things. What changes people, their political opinions, is events. And events are changing very quickly. And also the second thing about the Palmerston Doctrine, that a country doesn't have permanent friends or permanent enemies, just permanent interests. And if we think of what's in Ireland's interests as events change and Britain leaves and a massive amount of our trade is outside the EU and the EU is becoming more expensive, then it becomes more attractive for Ireland to leave the EU. So...
But there's also an argument there as being Northern Ireland, the six counties of Northern Ireland being part of Ireland is also too expensive, that we couldn't afford that either as a small country.
Yeah, well, I think that reunification of Ireland, also we have to convince like Protestant loyalists and unionists in the north that being in a united Ireland is also good for them, and we're not going to...
Do you think you could do that?
Over, basically.
I mean, what do you say to a generation who are living in Northern Ireland, who consider themselves to be British and under the Queen's rule, and you turn around to them and say, okay, we've got a united Ireland now, you have two choices, you can stay here and live in Ireland, or if you want to, you can go home and go to Britain. I mean, that's not an option, really, is it?
I'm not saying that, because I think that any thoughts that people had in the 70s about genocide and we were going to shove these people off the island, they're all completely gone. Now, the vast majority of people on this island believe and agree that it should be by consent. So it's a matter of convincing these people, and a great way to convince these people is the vast majority of unionists in the north voted for Brexit and to leave the European Union. And we can say, look, we too can be an independent country outside the European Union and bring back powers to this island that we decide our own laws. Well, I think that would be much more attractive to them. And I think Sinn Féin made a massive strategic error in trying to just go for the sectarian vote, try to cheese off the unionists, and because they were in favour of Brexit, they would vote against it.
But where would we be? Here's the question, and I spoke to somebody about 20 minutes ago about this. Where would we be today if it wasn't for the European Union? Do you believe, Herman, that we would be the country we are today? Which, okay, we've had our recessions, we've had our downtimes, we're not doing too bad at the moment.
Financially, would
we be in the same position now? Would we have the roads? Would we have the infrastructure? Would we have what we have today if it wasn't for the European Union?
Well, in regards to just basic money, since we joined the EU, they gave us 44 billion net, right? They took 200 billion worth of fish out of our water since we joined. So as an independent country, and also the reason all these multinational companies are here is because we have a young, well-educated workforce who are happy to work. We have a relatively low tax system which encourages work, incentivizes people to go to work, and it incentivizes companies to come here and set up. Now, that going forward, look, the two richest countries in Europe are not inside the European Union.
But we're looking at the situation in Britain at the moment where you've got multinational companies telling their local MPs, we're getting out of here. Dyson have just pulled out. Many other big companies are now pulling out of Britain because of Brexit. Do we want to see the same thing happen here? Do we want to see all these multinationals say to us, we don't want to be part of this?
Yeah, look, there's been huge scare stories in Britain about what is going to happen. Economically, Britain has the lowest employment rate since 1973. Inward investment into Britain is booming. It's the highest.
Why are these companies pulling out?
Well, you'll always have companies coming and going. They go wherever most money.
Dyson, one of the highest taxpayers in Britain. has just pulled out of Britain?
Well, I will say to you that all those companies, Dell, Intel, the pharma companies here we have in Ireland, the reason that they're in Ireland is we have a low corporate tax regime and they're making money. They're not in France. They're not in Germany. They're in Ireland. Why? And what does the EU want to do? They want to change now, in the next year, Ireland's corporate tax regime. They want to shove something down our throat to equalise things with France and Germany, and that means we get shafted. And that's not good for Ireland. Long term, it means we pay these people more money and we have less power, less influence, and they're going to cripple our economy.
Okay, so the only way forward, as far as you're concerned, Herman, is for Ireland to leave the European Union, if indeed Britain go for a hard exit, and also for a united Ireland.
Yes.
All right.
Listen, and 100 years on, and would you believe, 100 years on, they had celebrations there 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, about centenary of the first Dáil. Wasn't that everything that these people fought for, to be a sovereign, independent, self-governing republic?
All right.
So when you see these hypocrites on talking about it, yeah, it just should make you sick.
Thank you very much indeed. Herman Kelly, who is from Europe of Freedom of Direct Democracy, the EDD spokesperson, and also Air Exit supporter. All right, I want to go to one or two callers. I want to get a general sense of how people feel. I could ask you about Brexit, but it changes on a daily basis and becomes more complicated on a daily basis. But realistically, there are two things that are going to happen within 60 days. There'll be a hard Brexit, or there'll be an extension of 12 months. That's really it. And a hard Brexit means only one thing for Ireland. It really means that we're going to have a border between here and the north of Ireland, which invariably, and I don't want to be the scaremonger here, is going to bring us back to problems. Absolute problems, because there are people in Northern Ireland who hold resentment and they're not going to be happy with a visible border again. I want you to text us and let us know what you think. 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Text or WhatsApp. Donal, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Donal?
How you doing, Niall?
Well, there's no hard border, I can tell you, Little House on the Prairie, so...
No, there is not, and I'm delighted you brought up this subject, but you're right in one thing, Niall. First of all, I do believe Ireland should have a vote on leaving the EU, and I would vote to leave. Now, at the moment, I think that vote would fail, but only because this is the first time I've heard a radio station asking the people this. If people, we're only being told all the good things about Europe, and you're right, they did give us the roads and all this and things like that. But what about all the bad things? What about the fact, Niall, that they're not a democratic organisation?
No, they're self-appointed, yes.
I'm sick to the teeth of people telling me that the European Parliament has powers. It has as much power as an ashtray and a motorbike. That's exactly what it has. It's the Commission. And there's a bunch of old men that was never elected. And look at what they're doing now. They're demanding the budgets from Italy now and Spain. They're demanding the budgets from Ireland. That gentleman is right. They're going to be down.
Do you know what I said to somebody this morning, and I hate to use this as an analogy, but Hitler fought for years to control Europe. And I'm sure if Hitler is lying in his grave, he would be smiling, because it seems now that Germany is controlling Europe.
Well, I didn't want to use the word a Nazi organisation, but that's the way they're heading.
I'm not insinuating that they're a Nazi organisation, but what I'm saying is, from a point of view of control.
But there is an awful lot of similarities there. There's a group of old men that want to run Europe, and they were never elected. And Sinn Féin are really sickening me to the teeth. Twice they tried to bring us out of Europe with Nice and the Maastricht Treaty, which would effectively brought us out. We wouldn't be in the we wouldn't be in the single currency now if Sinn Féin had their way at that time, right? Now, because the unionists say, we should get out of Europe, Sinn Féin say we're staying in. Sinn Féin now is a Eurocrat liberal party.
Well, I don't understand Sinn Féin, because Sinn Féin, to me, were always the party who wanted, a sovereign country, a Republic of Ireland, and yet they're quite happy to be ruled by Europe.
You see, Niall,
I don't get it.
But Niall, these questions were asked on prime time on Claire Bourne and other RT shows, but they're not. You'll never have these questions asked. And other questions, I heard an MEP on the other morning, there's two Sinn Féin councillors now gone in Tipperary. They've lost two TDs because they've proved that they're not a democratic party. Their TDs and the councillors have to shut up and play the party line.
So tomorrow morning, if there was a referendum, well, let me ask you about the two referendums then, the two possibilities. Yep. A united Ireland, would you vote a yes?
I would for the yes, but it has to be the majority of the people in the north of Ireland.
By consent, yes. By consent.
Yes, by consent. Because these countries' problems, north and south, it's not about land, it's about the people.
Yeah, well, we do have to have respect for the loyalists that live in Northern Ireland.
We do, of course. Yes. We do, of course. And when they say that they want to join the South, and I'll tell you one thing, if I was a unionist in the morning, I'd probably want to stay with the UK.
Getting back to United Ireland, Andrea, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Andrea?
Hey, how are you?
Andrea, I mean, how would you vote if tomorrow, hypothetically, you had to vote on United Ireland?
No. No.
You would vote no?
Yeah.
And like, why?
Well, there's a few things. Like, for one, we couldn't afford to take on all that infrastructure, like looking after the roads. Like, we can barely look after our own country.
Mm-hmm.
And then another reason, like, if you think about it, like, the health system up in the north is similar to the... like
the NHS, yeah.
So, like, what are you going to do there? Are you going to give us all free GP care?
Are we going to start charging everybody up the north?
Which start charging everybody?
They won't be happy with.
No, they won't. And their insurance is a lot cheaper up there as well. So, are they going to lower our insurance or are they going to raise theirs? It's just way too much. Way too much for them to sort out before that happens. I don't think it'd be a good idea.
No, you're right. It's not as easy as people think it is.
Everybody thinks, oh, we'll just take on the six counties, United, Ireland, everything will be grand. But no, like, they have a better healthcare system up there. So half of Ireland, like, half of the patients on waiting lists at the minute are going up there to get healthcare. The bus is going up nearly every day for people to get outpatients, appointments and everything.
Yep.
So, like, are you going to change that over to the HSE and the system just be as bad as it is here?
I don't think the people of Northern Ireland would put up with the system that we have here, to be honest with you.
No, I think they'd all vote no if they knew how bad it was down here.
By the way, there's a question. If there was a United Ireland referendum, right, do you believe we should have a right to vote in the 26 counties? Because after all, it's something that doesn't really affect us. So, or should the vote be restricted just to the people who live there in the six counties?
It's a hard issue, like, because I think they should have a right to vote on it as well, because it affects them. But if you think about it in the scale, if there's a lot more of us than there is of them, so, you know, we all vote yes and they all vote no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they essentially don't have a choice, you know, because there's more of us than Northern Ireland. But
see, I mean, at the moment there's a kind of 50-50 split up there. If you actually had a vote tomorrow, I imagine it's probably going to be 50-50. So, because it's down the middle. I mean, you've got half the people up there Republican, the rest, of course, will be loyalists, and it's going to split down the middle.
Yeah. Now, like, as one of your previous callers said there, I think we should leave the EU, and I think that would make things a lot better. You know, I don't think the EU is being any benefit to us of late.
If we did leave the EU with Britain, then there wouldn't need to be. We wouldn't need to have that United Ireland vote.
No, we wouldn't, and we'd still have the same agreement we had with the UK before we joined the EU. You know, like as you said, like it was beneficial for us at the start when we first joined out. We got all these lovely roads and everything, but paying out the money we pay out to them at the minute, it's just not worth it. And again, like we only can fish 2% of our water.
Stay there for a second, Andrea, and let me go back to Donald. Donald, getting back to you, United Ireland or leaving Europe. You wanted to say something else, sorry.
I did. Well, first of all, I think the vote they should be left to the people in the north of Ireland, because they were the people that were abandoned in 1922.
Right, so the 1.8 million people in the north should be the ones involved in the referendum and not the other 4.7 million.
Exactly. We had
just skew the votes, wouldn't we?
Well, but we already had a vote in this country with the Good Friday Agreement, where over 70% of the people voted for the Good Friday Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't tell people that, you can't tell nationalists in the north you have to live under England if they decide that they want to live in United Ireland. It just would be wrong. You know, but when I get back to the point, it would Europe, like the government, we're never going to hear the whole truth about Europe. They're just telling us all the good things about Europe. Another example which sickens me is, why can't I ring a bank in Germany now and get a mortgage?
Well, why can't you buy a car in France and drive it home?
Exactly. You see, but you're being told by your politicians, "Oh, it's too complicated. It's too complicated."
So, in other words, they're making up the rules to suit themselves.
Yeah, and if you say, "No, I'm a nationalist," I would consider myself an Irish nationalist. That seems to become a dirty word. If you say you're a nationalist now, you're a Nazi.
Yeah, you're some sort of crazy patriot.
You know, and that goes back to the Sinn Féin argument again. Are the nationalists are the Eurocrats? Which are they?
Well, I don't know what Sinn Féin are anymore. We'll stay there for a second, because Dave, I want to bring Dave in as well. Dave, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Dave?
Hello, Niall.
Dave, it's a very complicated situation. As the days go on, it gets even more complicated, to be honest with you. But it does leave us one problem, and that is, if there is a hard exit by Britain in a Brexit, well, you know, it's more likely that we're going to have a United Ireland, or a referendum at least on a United Ireland.
Well, I think as a country, we're actually becoming a bit more mature. We're finally throwing off the shackles of the Catholic Church, eventually, which might make us a bit more amenable to the unionists up the north,
mm-hmm.
because mainly it was the Catholic Church they were against, not the actual people of Ireland.
Yeah, but you might say that we, as in the south, have become a lot more secular, but if you've been living in the north, you will realise that they are a lot more religious and take their religion a lot more seriously in the north than they do down here. So if you're talking about a referendum up north between six counties and 1.8 million people, many of those Catholics are still quite religious. They would be where Ireland was 20 years ago.
Well, possibly.
Not possibly. They don't have abortion. They don't have gay marriage. They objected to it at every ground. So they're different in that sense. I'm not saying, by the way, there's anything wrong with that. That's just their religion. They hold it a bit more dearer than we would. She'd go up there on a Sunday. The shopping centres don't open until 1 o'clock. So there was a time, up to recently, they didn't open at all. So what I'm saying is they take their religion a lot more seriously than we do in the six counties.
But they will eventually have to be dragged into the 21st century.
Well, you can't drag people into the 21st century. You have to wait till they evolve as a society, as we did. So you just can't drag people. You just can't demand that people drop their religion or stop taking their religion so seriously.
But as a part of human evolution, they will eventually.
Oh, they will eventually. Yeah, that takes time. So I mean, if there was a referendum tomorrow, Dave, do you believe you should have the right to vote living in the South?
I believe that there would have to be a referendum both North and South, and they would both have to agree.
But surely that would skew the referendum if we had an all-Ireland referendum.
What I mean is that there would be a referendum in the South. Would we like to take the North in?
Right.
And there would be a separate referendum in the North. Would you like to join the South?
Well, I could almost predict the result of that. I would imagine that would probably be 60 to 70% of the south of Ireland would say yes. But I would imagine the north, it would be 50-50. I think it would split down the middle. It would be close. I don't know how that would go. So I don't think what we think is really that relevant, apart from our consent to it, which I think is a given.
But now, can I ask you this question?
Yeah, sorry, Donald.
This is the big thing, and Simon Coveney has said it over and over again. He said that England, the UK, have caused this problem. They haven't caused the problem. They've had a democratic vote.
They didn't. And this idea, by the way, that Coveney and Varadkar, that the UK kind of weren't, I suppose, prioritising the Irish border. I mean, why should they? It's not their problem.
No, they had a vote, and what they're doing now is they're not listening to the Eurocrats saying, "Oh, go back and have another vote and be good little Europeans," like we did twice. We had to go back and vote again until we got it right. This is what if you listen to the BBC news, this is what's really getting up the nose of the British people. You have the likes of Coveney and our Taoiseach, and particularly Sinn Féin, which is a party. Some of their members bombed the hell out of England, and now they're trying to tell England what to do. No wonder the Brits are sick. And what the Brits done was they tried to when they couldn't do it. They said, right, we can't reform it, we're leaving. And that's what I would do in any
case. Okay, but Dave, it says on my screen here that you would support a United Ireland personally yourself, Dave.
Yes, I would, yes.
And what about, as Andrea pointed earlier on, the financial cost of that? Well, here's the question. They asked recently a survey. Would you support a United Ireland if it meant that you had to pay an extra 5% tax, income tax?
I know I wouldn't.
I certainly wouldn't. Would you, Dave?
I wouldn't like to, but...
Well, that really is the outcome.
Well, the outcome is, do you really think that if there's more trouble up the north and England do leave, which is still in doubt actually, do leave Europe, that they're going to forever just throw billions upon billions every year up into the north and keep it going?
Well, they've been doing it for God knows how long.
They have been doing it for nearly 100 years. But
the Northern Ireland, the six counties in Northern Ireland, are not financially sustainable and haven't been for years. They have the highest rate of disability payment because of the troubles and what it caused and what it did to people. So, I mean, they've a huge problem up there when it comes to welfare.
So then we have to take that burden on as well.
Do you know what I mean, Dave? So I'm not saying it's not possible, but I mean, Andrea pointed out a few problems they have. For example, if we did have United Ireland, do we suddenly start charging them for GP care? Do we suddenly increase the cost of their car tax and insurance? Do we suddenly increase their VAT rates? Do you think they'd be happy with that? I don't think they would.
No, but I tell you so what, they would be happy with the rate of social welfare that they would get rather than the English version.
Which indeed would cost the Irish government even more money. So where is this money going to come from, Dave? Are you happy to pay more income tax to sustain that? Because I certainly am not.
At the end of the day, Niall, money will be found when they want it for anything else.
It's a lot of money.
Sorry, Andrea.
Go ahead.
They'll come to us to find it. In other words, we'll be taxed more like we are with everything when they need more money for something. Like when they were bailing out the banks, they came to us to pay that off. If we take on the six counties, and it's going to cost us a lot more money, which it will, like as you
12 billion.
Niall said, there's a lot of people on disability benefit. We're going to have to pay for that in our taxes, and we can't pay any more taxes than we already are. It's not right on us.
It's a nice fantasy, Dave, and it's a nice dream, and the idea of, you know, this unity and this united Ireland, which we should have had from the very start, is wonderful. You can blame the men of 1916 for that. But in saying that, it's wonderful. But in saying that, you know, it's just not sustainable, Dave. I don't believe so. Financially.
Niall, are you actually saying so, that if the people in the north of Ireland, the nationalist people, say that they don't want to live under the crown, we should tell them, listen, we can't afford you, off you go, go away. What you're actually saying?
Well, are you willing, Donal, are you willing to pay more tax?
I'm willing to accept the vote of the people in the six counties. If they have as much right to be governed by the government they want to be governed by as you and I have.
Maliki, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Maliki?
Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, Mr. Steenson. Mr. Steenson, this is your neck of the woods. You're quite interested in this whole thing. There's no point in talking about Brexit to some extent because it changes on a daily basis. Every day there's a new deal. But the latest deal seems to abandon the backstop altogether, and Coveney and Varadkar will be left with egg on their faces.
Well, firstly, Herman Kelly is right that we should be starting a discussion about leaving the European Union. It's not what any of us ever went into in the beginning, and people, when they were given the opportunity to expand Europe, they refused on two occasions and were made to do it again. Now, just to clarify what one of your other callers said there about the Good Friday Agreement, the people in the South never voted for the Good Friday Agreement. It was never put to them. What was put to them was an amendment to the Constitution to remove Articles 2 and 3 of the Southern Constitution. That's all that was put.
Yeah, but we could have objected to it.
Well, we didn't, and there was a political
so,
crime.
He wasn't incorrect in saying
he
it
was
put away. Hold on, we did have a referendum. If the referendum hadn't have been agreed, or the people of Ireland didn't agree democratically to that referendum, there would have been no Good Friday Agreement.
Well, that's a debatable point, because that was only one part. People down here only voted on one part of the agreement. People in the north voted, but it was a vital part of the agreement.
That's
a matter of opinion. The people in the north voted for the agreement. It was put to them. Now, the result would have been the same down here, because the sheep down here will do what they're told anyway. But this whole thing about, you know, a hard border and a soft border. The only reason they don't want what they're calling a hard border is because they believe, and are using the possibility of violence in order to, you know, justify there being no border. There is a border. When you go past Dundalk or past Carlingford, you're entering the United Kingdom.
Yeah, there's a big sign there. It says, welcome to Northern Ireland.
The people in the north voted to remain members of the United Kingdom until a majority up there decided not to. The veto, the very same as 22. The people in the south...
Maliki, the point in relation to this word, the hard border, right, is that... Because, and this would be, of course, a British border in Ireland, not an Irish border in Britain, right? A British border in Ireland. The reason is because obviously Britain would have to protect themselves if they indeed leave with no deal. But as soon as, at the moment, you're right, there is a border there at the moment, right? It's an invisible border. We don't see it. We drive past it every day. Although I did actually ask somebody yesterday, on a regular basis when I drive back and forward, just before you come to, and maybe you'll have the answer to this question, before you come to the sign that says welcome to County Louth, all right, about a mile beforehand at Jonesboro, there's a sign that says customs duty and there's an arrow pointing on a slip road. I have no idea what that's even for. Is it an old sign?
It's an old sign, I think, because the customs post used to be...
I'm curious why they never removed it, but anyway, it's still there.
But
the point is that the idea of a hard border, some lad standing in the middle of the road directing traffic off to a side road, right, or haulage companies or wherever it happens to be randomly, some fella with his hand up and a customs uniform on him, that's the day that all of a sudden certain factions in Northern Ireland, like the new IRA, who have demonstrated their ability in Derry 2 weeks ago, they're the kind of people who see this as a border again, even though it's always been there. They suddenly see this as a division.
And do you seriously believe that Irish Republicans, who the state would call dissidents, are going to be sucked into an agenda that's directed effectively by the British government?
But there's a whole new faction of those, Maliki. Maliki, the old dissidents are the old Republicans and the old members of the IRA and the old people who supported the IRA, like yourself, for example, have grown up. They've evolved. They've moved on, right? And they accept what we have now.
But there are younger people
who are growing up with resentment.
I don't accept what we have now. And most Republicans don't. The people who aren't part of the provisional movement do. But Republicans don't accept what's there today. No more than we accepted it in the 20s or in the 40s or in the 50s. And remember, troops on the border is a result of the security situation, not of a tax regime. And the reality is that a border and customs and tax, it's about tax, it's about gathering money.
Yes,
and it's
about duty, import duty.
Yeah, now why shouldn't there be no tariffs?
Why should there be import duty? The reason is quite simple, because we're part of the European Union and Britain won't be.
Well, we shouldn't be. But why should somebody in Britain not be able to buy, this, whether they're in or out of the European Union, be not able to buy the same thing at the same price?
Because that's the way it works, man. The same way as I can't buy goods from America without paying import duty.
Again, you should be able to.
Well, absolutely. You know, but that's not the way the world works.
Well, no, that's the way the system has evolved. And we have allowed it to happen. We need a whole new rethink. And people talking, and all of your callers there talking about, oh, the NHS is better in the north, and, you know, we can't afford it down here, and we'd have to adopt either, they'd have to take on our health
system. Same with social welfare system, etc., is different. And everything is different.
In United Ireland, and it's not going to come about as part of this process, it's a new Ireland we want. It's the re-establishment of the Irish Republic, as set out in the democratic programme for government.
And that sounds
lovely.
It's
a whole new dispensation.
It sounds lovely, Malik.
It's not simply about saying to the north, oh, let's just attach the north to the south. Or, as some people have it the other way around.
But those complications that Andrea mentioned before the break, they're all real.
Those are matters that can be sorted in a new Ireland.
You explain to me how you sort out things like that. For example, let's take two examples, right? The social welfare system. In the north of Ireland, the social welfare system pays probably less than half it pays in this country. Right, so what do we do? Do we reduce it in this country? Do we increase it in the north of Ireland, which indeed we'd have to pay for as a part of United Ireland? The NHS, GP services are free, and everything is free in the north of Ireland.
The national health should be free to everybody.
But where is this money? Where is the money going to come from, Maliki?
And, you know, if you look at the whole thing, you talk about social welfare, the cost of living in the north is less, the cost of housing is less. You know, we need to totally rework the social welfare system down here. You know, there should be no welfare for life, north or south of the border.
But they're all things that take time to work out.
Of course, but there's nobody, look, on the 1st of April, April Fool's Day, in fact.
Ironically.
You know, the whole thing is not going to collapse. And, you know, people should be very careful of what they're looking for, because what's envisaged in the and what's set out in the Good Friday Agreement is not a referendum on this island. It's a border poll. And it's only really applicable to the people in the north, because the people in the north will be the ones that will decide. That if the people in the south vote, it won't matter. It's a majority in the north, which is the old unionist veto, which is why the north was set up in 1922 with an artificial unionist majority, in order to enforce partition. And partition is the problem on this island.
But the people of the north of Ireland wouldn't accept a border down the Irish Sea, which was the original deal.
And if I was a unionist, I wouldn't accept it either.
But they said they didn't want to be treated differently to the mainland. Where, in fact, they're quite happy to be treated differently to the mainland when it comes to things like marriage equality, when it comes to things like abortion, when it comes to certain other things. They're quite happy to be treated differently.
But those are devolved powers. And, you know,
well, I'm just saying they're quite happy. They're quite happy to act and be treated differently. Then
they're quite right to push their own position. But 3,500 people died in a conflict over 30 years. And now we're told that the provisionals won't go back into government in the Stormont that we pulled down in 1970 because there's not gay marriage and abortion. I don't know any man that got out of his bed and risked his own life or took somebody else's life in order to get gay marriage or abortion. And if that was what it was about, nobody in 1969 would have went out the door.
Okay, so in relation to leaving Europe, that's also a high possibility indeed if Britain does leave Europe in within 60 days.
Well, they're leaving the European Union. They're not physically leaving Europe.
Do you believe that Ireland should also leave the European Union?
Well, I've argued that for a long time. The European Union, and people talk about the roads, you know.
Well, I know, it's the one argument that's used all the time.
It's the pay to go down the roads. There's tolls on all of them roads.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have been able to build them if we didn't have the money in the first place.
Built by public-private partnerships.
Yeah, but I mean, and even Herman admitted that we got 40 billion from the European Union.
Yes, but look at what they took, and Herman gave the figures, which I can't just remember, in relation to the fisheries alone.
But that's provided. But it's all well and good saying that we have. He mentioned a figure of 50 or 60 billion in fisheries, right? Which is a lot more than the money that we got from the European Union. But it's all well and good in suggesting that kind of figure. But if you can't sell those fish or you can't take those fish out of the water, sure, how the hell are you going to get that kind of money?
Took them out. That's the problem.
Yeah, but as an Ireland, as an independent Ireland, we wouldn't be taking that much fish out of the water.
Of course we would.
It's available to us.
It's not available to us because it's
out
of the water.
Well, not now it's not.
Look at the Common Agriculture Policy, which has destroyed agriculture for small farmers in this country. And farmers are now paid not to do anything or not to grow.
Yeah, they're given subsidies.
I mean, that's a nonsense, to artificially keep prices high. Look at we used to grow our own sugar and make sugar from sugar beet, for instance. They shut that whole industry down at the behest of Europe. And now we import cane sugar. You know, where is the logic in that? And these people who talk about environmental issues and saving the planet and all, we import cane from halfway across the world. Well, all we had to do was go down to the Midlands and grow beet.
So do you really believe if we hadn't have joined the European Union, we'd still be financially in the same position we're in now?
Well, the problem is...
Do you think it would be the same Ireland?
No, well, the problem is that we would have been still run by the same gobshites that are running the place now. So we probably wouldn't have been any better off.
Well, to be honest with you, I think they're all gobshites. I don't think you can get better gobshites. Well, stay there for a second, Malachy, if you can, because Edward, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Edward?
Not too bad. And I hear all this about the conflict and whatever. Suppose I'm coming to this from a job perspective. And
can you get closer to your phone, Edward, or something? Are you on a speakerphone or something like that? Are you?
No, I'm not. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go. Just speak up a little bit. Yeah, go on.
Sorry. And basically, it's all about future business. So the conflict that we seem to be going through at the moment is where, you know, the UK and Ireland seem to have frosty relationships now due to this whole process. And I'm just wondering whether we get a united Ireland or not, the fact of the matter still remains that Ireland will need a good trading relationship with the UK. And I think people are missing this point because happiness is about you having a job and not being isolated. All we need is more people unemployed or for us not to be able to trade with the EU or with the UK. For us, particularly in agriculture. And the idea of these tariffs, the one thing that would concern me about the UK leaving in Europe or the Union is that what's going to happen is that they're going to intensify productions of farming even more because they're going to allow the importation of all these GMO crops from America. Now, look at what it's done to the American state and the health. They're absolutely the sixth nation in the world. Now, do you want these cheaper GMO things to come in and then reduce the prices to the farmers even more where they go out of business? And more importantly, they'll be able to slip into Ireland an awful lot more than we appreciate. So I believe we need to be looking to the UK as our trading partners and not like somebody we want to sort of, you know, be negative.
Well, I think the only way that we can keep with the UK as a trading partner, as Malachy suggested already, would be for Ireland to leave the European Union as well.
No, the other alternative would have been for the Irish government to actually grow a set of balls and confront this and say to the European Union that we're going to have a free trade deal with Britain, our biggest trading partner.
Well, I mean, up to last week, Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar were patting themselves on the back for doing such a wonderful job. You don't obviously believe they didn't.
Well, I mean, I said it when they came back in December of 2017 with this great backstop idea. You know, and
that was never going to happen.
No. And, you know, it shows. And when you have somebody like Varadkar, who doesn't even remember what happened in this island. I mean, the Irish scene.
He was 15. Well, he was 15 years of age the last time he was aborted.
You know, a comment in one of the papers from him the other day about a totally different matter, about the Kerry babies. He'd never heard of Joanne Hayes. You know, is that a man that's fit to be leading any country that doesn't know what happened in it, you know, 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah, but, you can't always look at politics like that. There are some good young politicians.
Where? Who?
Well, I mean, there are some good young politicians. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who's a good young politician. But they do have to mature, Maliki. You know, I mean, and in saying that, just because he's a little bit younger than previous Taoiseachs doesn't mean that he's bad at the job.
Personally speaking,
I do believe he's bad at the job. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I don't believe his age is the reason he's bad at the job.
I think he must have life experiences.
I believe the reason he's bad at the job is because he's siding with Europe, because he's looking at his own future.
He's bad at the job because all he's concerned about is spin and how he appears, and image.
He's looking forward to his own future.
You know, he hasn't, you know, and for example,
I know where Leo Varadkar could be in 10 years.
He'd be CEO of some charity.
Well, he'd be in Europe.
Yeah, or that.
Yeah.
You know.
That's exactly where he'd be. And that's what he's looking at. So, I mean, there's no doubt about that, that he, you know, that he's sided with Europe for the last year and a half in relation to this Brexit, thinking he was going to get some sort of wonderful
deal. They've all sided with the establishment, and that's what happens in this country. There's this all group think, and people are afraid to think outside of the box or say anything that's not politically acceptable.
All right, well, look, I have to wrap it up. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Maliki and Edward and everybody got involved in that conversation. I think, you know, the conversation is certainly going to go on for the next 50-something days until we find out exactly what's going to happen. I think it's going to change day by day, but I think it is concerning. And I think for anybody who believes it's not concerning and those who believe that people are scaremongering, I think you're wrong. I think there's a right to be concerned, and I think there's a right to be very concerned in relation to Northern Ireland in particular.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.